It's the Musical Theater Book Club. Let's talk about a show. Welcome to Musical Theater Book Club, where we talk about our favorite musicals, our least favorite musicals, and everything in between. I'm Berkeley.
I'm Sarah.
And today we have a special guest. What's up, Caitlin?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. This is going to be really fun.
Of course. I'm super stoked. So today we're talking about Legally Blonde, which I grew up loving. This, I think Legally Blonde came out when I really first started getting into theater. I wore that cast album out.
Like, this is the first show we saw together.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say probably the same. Like, I mean, I listened to musicals with my mom and stuff somewhat, but I would say probably around the time of when this came out and we went and saw it, that's probably when I started, like, getting more into theater.
Did you guys like the musical because, or want to see the musical because you love the movie, or was there like something else that drew you to it?
So I actually don't really care about the movie.
Really? Oh, that's so
it's
funny.
It's not what I dislike, but like, I don't even know if I ever saw it before this. Berkeley bought me tickets for graduation. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this sounds fun. I think it's one of the best adaptations as far as movie to theater. Like, I think it's one of the better adaptations. But yeah, like, I've watched the movie and I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But then the musical, I'm like, yes.
It is a really great adaptation. I feel like just the structure of the movie also really works well for a musical. It's like, I don't know if you guys have ever listened to like the Script Notes podcast, which is with John August and Craig Mazin. They're screenwriters, and John August does a lot of like the Disney adaptations, like for I think he did like Aladdin and stuff like that. But he loves musical theater, and so he was talking about how there's always like at the beginning of a musical, there's like the I want song, which is like the thing that you want, which is like in this musical, I guess it's Elle wanting to get engaged to Warner. And then there's always like the world building song, which is like the sorority stuff. So anyway, I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I think they do a really good job with this, especially compared to like recent movie musicals or movies made into musicals. I think this one sort of like set what I almost like set the standard, I would say, because I don't think we were getting many beforehand, not as much as we do now, at least. And if they were around,
yeah,
it was usually like the movie to musicals were usually like the Disney ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think we were getting much before, but now it's like every other show was a movie.
It's a movie.
First. Yeah.
No, that's so true. So I remember Legally Blonde came out, and then fairly shortly after, I think it was The Wedding Singer, which mm-hmm. is a musical that I also really like. Probably not as good as Legally Blonde, but I really enjoyed that one. But yeah, people really do like, though, a lot of the movie adaptations now. But I feel like for a while, there was like a lot of like misses.
Yeah. It's not always easy to move a movie to a musical. You have the opportunity to cover so many different plot points in a musical than you do with a movie. And I mean, Legally Blonde added plot points that don't really make sense. But Ireland.
Why?
But other than that, it's a strong show. I think, at least. The reviews say otherwise, but I think it's a strong show.
Yeah, I was actually reading some reviews. I felt like some people were really attacking like the value system of the film or of the musical, which I thought was interesting that people saw it as like, oh, you can be successful as long as you're like beautiful first. And I guess because there's maybe some more makeover-esque stuff in this version of Legally Blonde than there is in like the first version of the film version but I don't know. I don't read it that way at all. I still think that it is about maybe expectations of people as opposed to like you have to be a certain way to get your foot in the door. I don't know. I think it's more about how, you know, no matter who you are, there are expectations put on you. Though I will say, I think this is a flaw of maybe the film too, that I don't necessarily think people always super underestimate super attractive people. I think it's more that she's like ditzy a little bit seeming and then proves herself wrong. But it's not about her being blonde.
No.
We see many successful blonde lawyers. I don't really think it's about that. So
I completely agree. Legally Blonde came out in 2007. The music was by Nell Benjamin and Lawrence O'Keefe, who we've talked about before. Lawrence O'Keefe, not Nell Benjamin. And then the book was by Heather Hatch. It, obviously based off the 2001 movie, Elle Woods is broken up with her boyfriend at the beginning so he can attend Harvard Law. To win him back, she tries to get accepted to Harvard Law, and she does. There she struggles, but with the help of some new friends, she realizes her potential. That is such a cheesy way to state that. That's taken straight from MTI. Gotta give credit where credit's due.
Going back really quick to the creators, like as you said, we talked about Lawrence O'Keefe. I mean, we mentioned Nell Benjamin in the Heathers one because she is married to Lawrence O'Keefe. So we mentioned that then. Yeah, and you know, Lawrence O'Keefe, Heathers, Nell Benjamin, Mean Girls. But the other thing for Heather Hatch, who wrote the book, she also wrote the screenplay for Freaky Friday, the 2003 one. And I was like, oh, I'm like, this makes sense. Similar, you know, kind of similar, not similar concept, but...
And there's music in that, too.
Yeah, which is also...
the best songs. I love their music.
Yeah, I think that's one of the few, like, movie soundtracks that I, like, definitely jam out to.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan was good. She has, like, a pop-punk thing going on in that movie, and it was really good.
That's one I haven't seen in so long.
I recently rewatched it. It holds up, honestly. It's a pretty good movie. I think it actually got decent reviews, too, at the time.
I'm interested to see how the musical works. I know it didn't do well, but like it's done a couple of regional productions.
I actually didn't know there was a Freaky Friday musical.
Yeah, I know, it's about to make a joke of being like, oh, when is that gonna happen?
Yeah, no, it's already happened. Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkey.
Brian Yorkey. I love Brian Yorkey.
Yeah. We mentioned Heather Hatch had done the movie, so I was like, I wonder if she did the musical too, but no. I think when I was living down south, because I was living in Orange County for a while, I think they were doing the San Diego tryouts. And I think they've gone to D.C. with it as well. No, maybe off-Broadway, if anything.
Yeah, maybe I'll check that out after this. I'm like, right.
Especially with, like, Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkey. They're so good.
They're so good.
So we mentioned that it was based off the movie. There's not much that I could find on the development of the show. They did their tryouts in San Francisco, and so many shows during like the early 2000s did their tryouts in San Francisco. And I'm like, why did I not see this show?
I know, like right when we were, you know, still like babies. And now that we're like adults that have money and ability to go see this, it's never there.
Same thing with Wicked. Wicked did tryouts in San Francisco. My mom has like an old coworker who saw the workshop or the tryouts. With Adina and Kristen.
That's not totally true. We did see Bring It On tryouts.
We did see Bring It On.
So we got one done.
What is that experience like? I've never seen that.
I guess as an audience member, it's just like the same. But what's interesting is after we saw Bring It On, I hated it. I did not
really.
Like
I never have seen it.
I've fallen in love with it since. I did not think it was good during tryouts, but they made a lot of changes to Broadway, and I have fallen in love with it.
What kind of changes did they make? Like to the plot or songs or?
I think it was a little bit of everything. Plot, definitely. I felt like the plot was really weak. But I felt like a lot of the music just wasn't as strong as it could be. So, and maybe they didn't. Maybe I'm just making this up and I just didn't like it when I first. I haven't looked into it. I want to see what kind of changes they made. But I just remembered like not being that impressed with it. So after the tryouts in San Francisco, the show did move to Broadway in 2007. It ran for 30 previews and 595 shows, which is about a year and a half. And it's considered a giant financial disappointment.
Really? I'm surprised because I saw it twice. So like, I was giving you money. That's crazy. It felt so successful. And I think that a lot of schools did Legally Blonde, which I thought was weird. I don't know that it made a mark.
I've looked into it a little bit, and I think that afterwards it's done really well. Like, Jerry Mitchell said that it's still one of MTI's biggest selling titles. There was actually a theater in the area that did it, and I have a friend that was in it. This was years ago, and they had Rhiannon, who was the third runner-up for the TV show, as Elle Woods.
Awesome.
I just think it's so funny. Like walking down the halls, they have the poster for it, and it's like her face, and I was like, wait, I know that face. But it's done all the time. I was actually, if I was staying in the area, I was going to be music directing a production of it.
That's awesome.
Right? And I'm upset that I don't get to because I love the show. But yeah.
Yeah. Despite it doing not great in Broadway. Yeah, it had a bunch of tours. It went to West End. It went to Australia. It had like 13 different international places it played. And like we said, you know, lots of different colleges do it. I think high schools do it. So even though it wasn't super popular on Broadway, it's definitely still a very popular, well-known show.
Mm-hmm. What I think is interesting is they were, like, I looked at all the other places they did it, and there's, like, multiple countries in Asia. Some of the regular countries you have, like New Zealand and Australia, both had productions. But then, like, the Dominican Republic got a production. The Philippines got a production. Yeah. And then I think it was 2012, they had a French production, like, in French, in Paris. But it closed after 3 weeks because it just didn't sell at all.
When you transfer something like that, like Legally Blonde, which is set so very much in America, and you know, you have like references to like the East Coast people and like the West Coast people, and then you put it in French. I mean, are you also adapting it to France, or are you just going to ignore the fact that like this California girl who has like the Valley Girl accent is like speaking French?
that's such a good question, because I was research wondering that.
It. Yeah, I know, because we talked about this last week too. We did a Hello Dolly last week, mm-hmm. and we had that same question, because you know they go off to New York and it was such a big thing. Yeah. I was like, you know, how do they adapt it, or do they just leave it and assume people know like these cultural things about America?
Right, even if it's a totally different language that like taking place in a different country. But I know that's really interesting, because I feel like it's a very American show in a lot of ways.
It I was re-listening to it, and it totally is. And we'll get into this in a couple minutes, but there's actually two different recordings. One is a live recording of the UK production, and cool. You can hear some of the changes that they make in the songs. There was one I noticed today, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it was like a reference to a specific place, I think, on the East Coast, and they changed it. And I was like, oh, they changed it because people aren't going to know what that is over there.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then this year, we were actually supposed to get a Hebrew production in Israel.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is crazy. I think that's so cool. It's interesting to see how much reach this show had, because I never would have expected it, really.
Yeah, for like a failed musical, which I'm offended that's right? How it's referred to.
And that was the whole thing, Sarah. I don't know. I know you checked the Broadway subreddit. I don't know if you saw it, but there was a question that somebody posted, like, was this show a flop? And a lot of people are like, I mean, it ran for a year and a half. I don't consider that a flop, but financially, it just didn't do as well. And you can see that in like the subsequent productions, because they really do pare it down for tours and West End.
What do they pare down about it?
The sets, first of all, you can't have a whole sorority house that's in one scene.
Right.
You have to cut that, which is one of my favorite set pieces. Like, when we saw it, I was really upset we didn't have the whole sorority house, because one of my favorite moments is that first moment where they're getting ready to go leave and see Elle, and the girl's like, hey, wait for me. And she jumps on the pole, and there's that costume change. That's one of my favorite moments, and they don't do it anymore. But they pare down the orchestrations a lot. They actually cut a Delta New track as well. They pare it down a lot, and I think a lot of it has to do with the money.
Yeah, I did find one article on Reddit about why it didn't do well. And I was like, when I was reading it, I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense. They were talking about, you know, why did it flop? And the problem was kind of just when it happened. So part of it was, you know, it was on Broadway around 2008 during the recession. So in general, Broadway wasn't doing good, which I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then it had really tough competition. You know, it was talking about how like the younger, more hip sort of crowd was going to Spring Awakening. Families were going to Mary Poppins. Like the more hardcore theater people were going to Company or Grey Gardens. Just in one of those years where like all the competition was really intense. So it's like, might have been better if it went in a different year. Like, it could have done a lot better.
That makes sense. It's also not necessarily, I mean, a family musical. I mean, I saw it with my family, but I could see if you have a kid who's like 10, maybe Legally Blonde, which is not a risque movie by any means, but is a PG-13 film, has a couple of like moments. If you saw that movie and you were deciding between Legally Blonde and Mary Poppins, you would probably pick Mary Poppins. And I remember it was like super cool to go see Spring Awakening. Like, when I was in high school, it was like, that was like the very hip show. Everybody was obsessed with it. It was like the new Rent. Cause I remember when I was like in middle school, Rent was like a huge, huge deal. And then it was Spring Awakening. So I could also see being like, so it makes sense. Teens would be more into Spring Awakening and they would be Legally Blonde. Though I, again, love Legally Blonde. So, but again, I'm never cool. I'm not the cool person. So as I've said,
And it's interesting. I think the whole plan with Legally Blonde was to sort of have that commercial outreach to a wider audience, because it is a movie that a lot of people know. But again, they were up against Mary Poppins. Like, I feel like if you were to rank, like, who loves Mary Poppins, who loves Legally Blonde, Mary Poppins movie-wise would be way further up there.
I'm very sensitive about the Mary Poppins musical, because when I was growing up, my sister and her friend were going to go with their moms to see Mary Poppins. And then my dad was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go too. But like, they didn't get me a ticket. I don't know why. I still, like, to this day cannot fathom why. I think it was that my dad was going to go like pick them up from the theater. So he's like, instead of going to pick them, like, I'll just go see the show too. And then we don't have to like do the whole thing. But I was like so mad, because then they were like, and the umbrellas are on the ceiling, blah blah blah. I was like, okay, like, screw you guys. Like, I've still never seen Mary Poppins. I've still never heard the music. I boycott it. It's fine, whatever. So,
oh, yeah, that was my first Broadway show, and I wish it wasn't.
Tell me, please. I've never seen it.
I love Mary Poppins. I did it. I actually was in a production. It was my first production back after like 4 years of time off. And it's a fun show to be in. It's such a fun show. And you have all these iconic numbers. But it's not the movie at all. And I think that's where a lot of people are upset about it.
Okay.
It does take more from the book. But we're going to keep all these songs that are in the movie and just put them into context with plots in the book.
Right. Yeah, that could be weird.
I mean, they do a lot of cool stagecraft tricks. Obviously, they fly. A lot of sleight of hand. That's awesome.
Yeah, I feel like that's what you get when you have a musical like that. Like, something, you get a lot of flashy moments, but I wouldn't know. I'll never know. It's okay. Over it.
So let's talk about the music a little bit. Normally I do like my top five songs. I only did top three this time because I just really love this whole soundtrack and didn't want to bring it down. My top three, I would say What You Want, So Much Better, and then Legally Blonde Remix.
That's why I let you go first, because I was like, okay, let me cross off the ones like so that I can just say mine that you didn't say. Because, yeah, it was the same thing. There's two songs I really, really, really hate, which we'll talk about in a moment, which I think everyone, I don't know anyone who is like, these songs are good. But everything else is like,
songs you're talking about, and I love them, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I think I know what songs you're referring to, or at least one of them.
But everything else, I mean, it was really hard. Like, I was sitting there this morning, and I was like, okay, which ones do I really pick? I know you already said So Much Better, but that's like the go-to, like, yes. I like Oh My God just because, you know, it's the opening song. As someone who is very stereotypical Californian girl, I do say Oh My God a lot. So I'm like, oh, cool. It's a song I can relate to. I like Chip on My Shoulder and Take It Like a Man, mostly just because I really like Christian Borle also. So I enjoy his songs. And I like both Legally Blondes, both the original, the regular and the remix.
Yeah, I also love the Emmett. He was in Smash, right? I didn't make
yes.
that up.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'm like, that is the same person, right? It's not just like generic musical theater man that I'm complaining
no, he is
with everyone.
Everywhere. Like, awesome. You start to realize,
yeah,
well,
I think
what is he not
doing? I also love Oh My God, You Guys. I love Positive, just because constantly I hear that song in my head all the time, the Greek chorus. And then I think So Much Better. Is that basic? Am I basic?
We all said it, so I think we're all basic. I tried when I was picking this out. So Emmett is one of my dream roles. I did mention that there's two recordings. There's the original Broadway cast, which everybody knows. And then I found out this week that there's the Live London recording that I mentioned. And that one's really interesting to listen to because I noticed a lot of instrumental things that I don't notice with the Broadway cast recording.
What kind of stuff?
You'll notice like there's a lot more guitar riffs that I noticed, a lot more piano stuff going on. And I think a lot of it has to do with just you have to mix a cast recording differently than you have to mix a live show. So it's really interesting. And also the live show has a nice, like, I mean, you have the reactions from the audience. So there's a nice energy to it. And it's like, let me tell you, They're Right There was hilarious to listen to because you're in Europe listening to them sing Gay or European. And it's hilarious. It was so good.
Oh, that is true. I didn't think about that.
Right?
Yeah.
One thing I think is difficult when you're listening to like new recordings is you have the original in your mind, like the one you've listened to. That didn't bug me this time, though. The only time it like really bugged me is when you had like lyric changes. There were a couple lyric changes I thought were interesting. And because you mentioned positive, the one that I wrote down is they change it to, "She might stab me in the gut with a stick that's up her butt." I was like, what?
That doesn't make sense.
And I'm like, why? That's a weird, and I can't think of what the original line is either.
Is it, "The violence is never wise, not a way to win back"? No, guy? No, it, am I thinking right? Yeah.
Not a way to win back,
might
guys.
Not. Yeah.
Anyway, she's twice my size. I'm going to find this out.
Yeah, who's got a plan B?
Right, exactly.
That might have been.
Yeah, let's just think through the whole thing right now.
It's so hard to just like pull up a lyric without literally going back and singing the whole song in my head. The stick thing is hilarious. Right. That's so weird.
There's another moment where in Legally Blonde where Emmett sings, "Please will you open the door?" Instead, he sings, "I wish I had told you before."
So,
and that one was like, oh, okay. That one, it was a nice change. And I'm like, okay, that has to be a staging thing. They don't have a door anymore. But I guess the London production is what they license. So I'm wondering if the productions that are done by like high school and stuff have those lyric changes in them. Also, while we're talking about productions, can we talk about Illegally Blonde? The one with the kids that are really bad?
Why? No, what? Tell me everything.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Wait, oh, no. What is it?
It's so ridiculous. So it's, they say it's like a university, but it's really just like a private theater school. Mm-hmm. And they're all off pitch and everything is so bad. And they're like middle school, but it's taken so seriously and it's hilarious. And I rewatched it today and there's just some moments.
If you've ever watched your middle school performances, like, how good I thought we were and how good I thought like even like the leads were back in middle school, and then rewatching it and being like, wow, like not really so much. So I can't even imagine like watching something that I know that the whole world thinks is bad. That would be very, very upsetting if I was in that. I will be watching this like today. So I would love the link. Please send me the link.
There's one moment in it. I think it's the girl who does the Courtney, take your break. First of all, she's so aggressive when she says it, but the way she does, "It's a gift from me to Elle," is so hilarious. I can't replicate it. I don't want to because it's iconic in its own right. The other thing that's hilarious is there's at least one compilation on YouTube of people just doing the Courtney take your break line, and that's it. Because some people get so mad and they'll be like, "Courtney, take your break," and like shove her off stage.
You know, it's like the theater, the director being like, no, make it bigger. You're not angry enough. You know, you're so frustrated with Courtney. She's not taking her break. Make her take her break. What are you going to do to get there? What is your motivation? Courtney, take your break.
That's totally it, too. That's what makes it.
I would love to direct a middle school production of something. That sounds like torture. So.
I did a middle school production of Seussical.
Oh my god, Seussical is a terrible play. I'm sorry.
It was It was a thing. I love Seussical.
I'm so sorry. It's so bad.
It is. So we already talked about the reviews a little bit, and most of them weren't great. I think the general consensus was that the show is fun, which is correct. Laura Bell Bundy is great, which is also correct. They said the music just didn't live up to what they were expecting.
I think that's unfair because I love that. I think the music's really good, honestly. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like maybe the bar is really low for me with musicals. I don't know. I don't think that's true. But I think that the songs really fit the context of the tone of the original movie and also the play. I mean, you have like big Greek chorus. I think that's fun. I think that's a funny way to incorporate the sorority sisters, how to kind of give them life where they don't really have it in the film, except for like the little, you know, parts where the sorority sisters come back. I think that's really fun. I think that Laura Bell Bundy crushes it. She's a different kind of Elle Woods, too. I think that Elle Woods in the movie is a very different character than the way she's portrayed in the musical. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly think they're just wrong.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That's my well thought out take, by the way, on that. Everyone is just wrong, and I really liked it.
I support that.
That's my musical theater criticism.
No, I definitely feel like there's almost like a Broadway curse on Lawrence O'Keefe, because we talked about this a lot when we talked about our Heathers episode, but like, I mean, this made it to Broadway, but didn't do great. Heathers didn't even make it to Broadway. But then we see shows like Mean Girls, which isn't our, it's not bad, but it's like, how is this one so successful? And then these ones are like so much better and didn't, you know, do as great. And you're like, I don't understand.
Can we talk about Mean Girls for like a minute? Because I just saw it. I didn't really like it. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I didn't really like it. Didn't think it was bad. But okay, so remember how I said I went home to New York. I saw a bunch of plays. The two plays that I saw in a day was, I really wanted to see Mean Girls. So I went to the Tix booth. I waited in line. I was like, I really want to see Mean Girls. And they're like, okay, you can see it at like 8 p.m. And I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do until then? Like, I'm not going to wait around. So I was like, okay, what can I see at 2? And so they're like, you can see Tootsie at 2. So I went and I saw Tootsie, which I loved. I love Tootsie. You're like, you're wrong.
Well, no, I don't know it. I've heard bad things. I loved it.
I also sat in the first row. I literally could see like every spit, every single like facial expression. So I was like front row, nothing in front of me except for the stage, which is like not a comfortable place to be, actually. Like, it's obviously it's a good seat in terms you can see things, but it's almost like too close. But it was great. I loved it. I thought it was great. And so then I saw Mean Girls and I was like riding high on my Tootsie love because I thought it was great. And I was super disappointed. I didn't really like the modernizations that they did because I didn't think a lot of it made sense. I didn't like the changes that they made to the story. I thought that Katie was sort of an asshole. I didn't think the music, I didn't like the Regina George character. I didn't like, even though I think she's really great, Taylor's really great, I did not like the weird Marilyn Monroe breathiness of Regina George. I thought that was such a weird choice. The only thing I really liked was Karen, I think. Like, that was the only... Anyway, that's my take. I think that is a very overrated musical, though I am excited that Sabrina Carpenter is the new Katie, because I love her. But I don't know.
No,
I really thought they messed up the Regina of it all.
I was super excited because I love... I mean, we haven't done this one yet, but like, I love the movie. Like, this is one where it's like, yes, watched it a million times. And like, yeah. I've seen 30 Rock. I've seen Kimmy Schmidt. I know that they are really talented writers, like Tina Fey and her husband, and that they can do music really well. And maybe that's why, because I had such a high pedestal. I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And then when I listened to the music, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like,
I know. Exactly. The one song I really love is, oh my God, the me song. What's it called? I'd Rather Be Me.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm so sorry, but I know Barrett, loved her in Heathers. Thought she's amazing. Hated her performance as Janice. Hated the way the character was. I know there's been some controversy over this. Well, she's not bad, but her affect on stage was so flat. It almost seemed like she had to be directed that way, I would think. I don't know. Maybe it's a choice she's making. Nothing. Giving nothing. Janice Ian is like the best character in Mean Girls. She felt like a very much a background character, and then she had one like song that was good. But like, when you hear the song, you see it differently than when you actually see it on stage. And when you see it on stage, she's just like very flat. And her singing is great. She's a very talented singer, but I could talk about this forever because I was so disappointed. And it's fine.
Yeah, no, I listened to it and I was like, I think, going back to what we were saying about the music with Legally Blonde, I feel like the Mean Girls music does not match Mean Girls, but like Legally Blonde does a really good job of matching what I would expect Legally Blonde to sound like. So that's why I'm mad. Like, stuff like Mean Girls gets all this hype, and I'm like, okay, but Legally Blonde, guys.
Yeah.
Heathers, come on.
Heathers was, that's probably like my favorite newer musical. Heathers, I mean, I guess it's not that new now, but I saw it when I was graduating college. 6 or 7 years old. Yeah, I loved it.
one thing that I was really surprised about, and I guess I didn't really know, is that they won, like, no awards at all. They weren't even nominated for Best Musical. The original production did win one award. It was from Actors Equity, and they won Outstanding Broadway Chorus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Were they nominated for any Tonys?
They were nominated for 7, and they didn't win one. And then they were nominated for 10 Drama Desk Awards and didn't win any. But their West End did better. They were nominated for 5 Olivier Awards.
Olivier, yeah.
Yeah, and they won 3 of them. So they won Best New Musical, Best Actress, and Best Supporting Role. See, maybe that's what Lawrence O'Keefe should do. Maybe he should just try to put his stuff straight to West End. Same with Heathers. Honestly. Heathers did much better on West End than it did here.
For the 2009 Tonys, I think it was, they added, like, Best Touring Production for 1 year, and Legally Blonde won that. Like, that's the tour came and performed. They did, like, so much better, and it was weird because, like, they had Elle Woods on a platform and then an audience, and then they had the girls on the stage, like, no set, and they did, like, the little turnaround with the Elle Woods on their jackets. And
cute.
They literally just, like, did the last half of the song. And they had a couple touring productions come perform. It's a weird memory I had when I was reading this yesterday. I was like, oh, yeah, that was a thing. But they won Best Touring Production, which is cool.
They got a thing. They got a prize.
They got a something. And I think they did, because they did change some things from Broadway to the tour, just to pare things down. And I think it almost worked better. I think a lot of it, I feel like they tried to go big scale with it, and it just didn't work as well as they wanted it to. I think it had a lot to live up to in regards to, like, a mega musical like Wicked and, like, Phantom and that kind of stuff. And I feel like they were going for that, but it just didn't make that mark. I think that could be a lot of the issue.
That it was too big almost.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. I thought it was great, though, guys. Mm-hmm.
I really liked it.
really enjoyed it, so...
Yeah, all I'm hearing is that it's been, you know, about 12 years, and with Broadway being closed, they're going to need to do some revivals of some stuff, and because it has such a, like, popularity now, and, I mean, I don't know if you're on TikTok, Caitlin, but it's one of the, like, most...
All I do.
It's okay if you're not, but...
No, I am obsessed with TikTok. Okay, I don't make any videos, but I watch only, like, it my whole life.
And it's one of the top, like, theater, like, shows that's used on there. So all I'm hearing is that we need a Legally Blonde revival. We demand it.
I would love that.
You know, and one thing I totally forgot to mention earlier, but I thought it was really funny, is as I was listening to it, I was like, you know who I really want to see as Elle Woods, although she's too old now? Carrie Butler. And then and they did a demo, and she actually was Elle when they released a couple of the demo songs. And I was that's like... Cool. What? Why? Like, I love her so much, but I was listening to it. And I was like, she would be an interesting Elle. I think, I don't want to say she's too old, because I would never want to put an age gap on that. I would love to see her play Elle. I was looking at my notes and I was like, I totally forgot that. I love her.
Who else could you see as Elle in, like, in a new Broadway adaptation? Who would be, like, a good fit? I feel like there would be, like, stunt casting, like some actress who now wants to do, like,
The person that keeps coming to mind is Ashley Park.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, and I think it's just, like, the Mean Girls correlation.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
That's a lot of it. Because we were talking about it, now those are the only people I could think of, like her, Kate Rockwell, and Taylor.
Yeah.
The only people that are coming to mind right now.
Well, I feel like I personally think if they did a revival, that the best way for them to do it would be to get someone maybe not on Broadway, get, like, someone who's, like, I don't want to say, not Dub Cameron, but maybe Dub Cameron. So yeah. Someone like that, like, would be a choice, I think.
Yeah.
Would be what they would need to do.
But yeah, no, I agree. I feel like they would end up getting a big name L. Because they do that for revivals. They get...
Yeah.
They're like, they're never going to live up to the original cast, so let's...
Speaking of casting, totally random changing the subject, but related to casting that I remembered. One of my favorite things, you probably know this, but I just thought this was really fun, because I didn't know this for the longest time, that Michael Rupert, who plays Professor Callahan, was the original Marvin in Falsettos.
Oh!
So I just thought that was fun, because I'm like, hey! Because then Christian Borle goes on to play him. I just randomly remember, like, I looked down while we were talking about casting, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I had this.
So one thing I really love that they did, and it was sort of it was a big day for me, is when they recorded it and played it on MTV. It was like a Saturday, and I didn't go to a baby shower because I wanted to watch it.
People have babies all the time, okay?
Exactly. How often, at that time, how often were they showing musicals live, or not live, but like showing musicals on TV?
I mean, never. Even now they don't, which is, I understand that people, you know, the experience is obviously different live, but I mean, I just think that like you could open up so many more people to musicals if you were able to do quality productions online instead of like what I would watch would be like, you know, the handheld, like illegally recorded performances, which sometimes are fun to watch, honestly, now.
But they are.
It's not the same. It's not. I actually haven't watched Hamilton yet. And I know people have mixed feelings about it, but I want to see more stuff like that. You know, like give me like a high quality, maybe like right after it leaves Broadway, I put it online, you know, do something, put it on like Netflix, make it a thing.
Yeah. Broadway HD is now a thing. Why aren't we using that more? Yeah.
Tell me about that. I actually don't know about this.
It's a streaming service where they just have a bunch of shows. Honestly, the shows aren't that great on it right now.
Okay.
It's a lot of plays which aren't bad. The musicals, if that's what you're looking for, are like some of the lesser known ones. A lot of the ones that they record for PBS go on there. So they have like She Loves Me's on there. And there's a couple other ones, but a lot of them right now are like your Shakespeare plays that have been done in the West End and Broadway.
Thing with plays is that I feel like it's not that different than watching a movie. I mean, it is obviously different than watching a film, but like to me, you can have a lot of movies that are almost play-like, you know, like Closer comes to mind. Like, obviously it's a different, you know, it's different as a movie than it would be as a play, but like same stuff, like, you know, but a musical is a different beast on stage than it is in like a movie.
Agreed. So, agreed. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of really good, I mean, we saw with the Hamilton one, there's a lot of good moments, and with the Legally Blonde one, there's ways to stage it where you're getting a whole different experience. Because, I mean, what they did for Hamilton, and they actually did for Legally Blonde, is they record it once with an audience, and they do it, like, twice without an audience. Okay. So you are able to get those nice close-ups. And I think if more shows did something like this, I think it would be just a great way to get theater out to the public and make it more accessible for people.
Yeah, like, I don't know if we've ever actually said this on here, but, like, I've definitely watched some of the, you know, recordings from your cell phone sort of things. And there's never been a time where I'm like, oh, cool, I saw it. Now I'm never going to have to watch the staging. Like, if anything, it makes me want to go see them more. I'm like, oh, my God, this is so good. Like, I can't wait to go actually see this now on stage. So I do wish that they would have more that I could watch without, you know, somebody's head in the way or a bar. Or half the time it's like up here. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Exactly. I totally agree.
The other thing that makes me kind of upset about the recording for MTV is it was the OG, the original cast, except Serena and Pilar, which means we don't get Leslie Kritzer as Pilar. And I'm really upset about that because I love her, too, so much.
Why weren't they in the original? Well, I mean, why weren't they in the recording?
They recorded it in September and they left in June and August.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they, and maybe it might have been for other projects, but, yeah, it makes me sad that they weren't in it. Cause I mean, the people that they replaced were really good, but there was a moment cause I knew the show I saw the show, this recording. And then there was a moment where I saw a recording with Leslie Kritzer and I was like, oh, that must be a replacement, but nope, it was not. The other thing that I think is interesting that they did, and we talked about this already, is they had the Legally Blonde, the search for the next Elle Woods. I watched that. Caitlin, you watched it, right?
I did watch it. I loved it.
Did you watch
it? I can't remember. Like, I know I didn't watch it when it was on. I feel like I probably watched it, like, later on, because I feel like I vaguely remember it. But, like, I didn't watch it when it was on. I think I just watched it, like, on YouTube after.
At the time, I was very into America's Next Top Model, and this kind of felt like that, but for, like, people who loved, like, musicals.
Yeah.
Because there was some, like, pettiness or whatever, but, like, also the challenges were, like, fun. They were, like, makeovers, which, again, like, dyeing people's hair blonde makes no sense because you're going to wear a wig on Broadway anyway. Mm-hmm. very dumb, but yeah, no, I thought it was like really fun. I kind of wish that we had, I feel like there was a time period in reality TV where we had a lot of these shows that was like, that were like, show us your talents. Like, I mean, obviously you had like American Idol, but it was always like, this is going to make you a star. There's like a lot of shows that are like, this will make you a star. Like, we had American Idol, which I felt like at the time we all really believed everyone was going to be, like, Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood. And, like, now we know that's not true at all. But I really believe that. And so, like, I felt, like, Legally Blonde, like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is, like, someone's dream coming to life. Like, the stakes felt so high. Like, America's Next Top Model. Like, the stakes felt so high, even though, like, who remembers who won any of those seasons? So they also had this reality show. I'm also, like, a big horror movie fan. They had a reality show where people basically auditioned to be in the new Saw movie, like, to have, like, a big, like, moment in Saw. It's called Scream Queens.
Yes.
Not connected to the Ryan Murphy one, but it was super fun. And that's what I love. I love that kind of stuff. So yes. This is a blast. This is so fun.
I have a lot of thoughts on this show. I was looking at it today, and I was like, Sarah, I think we need to do, like, a separate, like, mini episode on just this show, because they did a reunion a couple months ago, and I started watching it, and like a lot of the stuff, like, it's interesting because just as they're talking in the reunion, you can see a lot of the shady stuff that MTV did to them.
I'm sure,
like, a lot of the editing, and I that's one thing I do like. I feel like a lot recently, a lot of the shadiness of reality TV has really made its way out to the public, and but they were talking about it, and like how half the stuff, like a lot of the pettiness that you just mentioned, it was all like cut together. Or like, I'm there's sure. a moment where Lena Hall, who was on it, fun fact, she I guess at one point is like, I don't like how they talk down to us, and they made it sound like she's talking about the judges, but she was talking about the producers of the show. And I'm like,
that's,
oh,
so funny.
What? How petty. But yeah, I think it's cool, because I think what everyone was expecting was that the person who won, she's going to be Elle Woods, period. But it was, she got Elle Woods. The runner-up got the understudy, but was also in the ensemble of Elle Woods. And then third and fourth place got to be in the tour.
Yeah, so honestly, that's great.
And everyone else has gone on to do stuff. Like, Lena Hall was eliminated super fast. Rachel Potter, who is known for her singing, was eliminated in the first episode. When I was watching the, like, reunion today, I was like, whoa. Well, I had no idea she was in it. And yeah, a lot of them, like Lauren Zankin, who I think that's her last name, she was fourth place. She's done so much. Like, she closed out Rock of Ages on Broadway. She was in the most recent live Jesus Christ Superstar. But yeah, a lot of them have gone on to still perform. Bailey Hanks, who won, doesn't perform anymore professionally.
Wow.
Like, it's interesting to see how everything sort of plays out with that.
Interesting.
Right?
That's so crazy. I didn't realize she doesn't perform anymore at all.
Not really. I think she had a family.
Okay. Interesting, though. Yeah. Very interesting. Right?
But I took so many notes on this show, and I'm like, maybe we should just save this for later. But I think one of my favorites is, it was in the comments of the first episode. I just happened to click on it, and someone was like, we need this, but for the next Regina George. And I was like,
yeah.
Yes, that would be perfect
that
for me.
That would be great.
Another thing they did recently is they did a COVID period of Oh My God, or COVID parody of Oh My God, you guys, with the original Delta New Girls. And it's so cute. Like, it opens with the original Serena, Margot, and Pilar. And then Laura Bell Bundy comes out as Elle Woods. And then everyone shows up. And it's, like, all about washing your hands. And they're like, Elle is educating everybody on how to properly wash your hands, but in song. And it's just so good. It was one of my favorite things I found. One thing we like to do on this podcast is we like to rank the shows based off of some random thing in the show. So I'll be like, I'll do out of 10 Delta New Girls, I'll rank it, I'll give it us 8. I really like the show. It's not a show that really, like, provides a lot of substance. But again, if I'm going to see Legally Blonde, I'm not going for substance. I'm going to have fun. And I think it really does that.
I think I agree with you. I think that mine is like a solid 8 Delta New Girls for sure. again, it's, I don't know. It's not, I mean, I don't know. I love Dear Evan Hansen. So like, to me, that's like a very heavy show, very deep show with great music. So maybe that's like my 9.5. But so I guess this is my 8. 7.5 to 8.
Okay.
I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm the same. I think I would also be 8 just because, like, it is fun. And I hate this idea of, like, Broadway can't be fun. Like, yeah. It's always like, oh, it has to either be really serious or it has to be this giant, like, spectacle, or it has to be, you know, it's never, like, it's, and then I feel like sometimes it's looked down on, like, oh, the fun shows are, like, kids shows, like, the Disney shows. I'm like, you can have a fun show. Like, it's okay. Like, why are all these things okay in movies but not okay on Broadway? So, yeah, definitely 8. Oh God, I had it and I forgot. 8 Bruisers.
Aww.
Oh.
I love that.
I love it. I'll do 8 Bend and Snaps.
Oh, yes. That's a good one. Yes.
I know. I felt so bad that that song didn't get picked, although I'm pretty sure at one point in time that was my ringtone.
I found that song. That was probably my not least favorite song. There are definitely worse songs. One of my lesser favorite songs.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Ireland, so.
It was a weird choice. That was a weird choice.
Even on the remix, like if I'm listening to the remix, which I love, I will fast forward that whole section because I'm like, no, it is no.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But I guess they needed another personality trait for Paula.
Yeah, probably. They needed to give her something.
Yeah,
they needed to add another dog into the show.
Right. Very weird.
I forgot about that dog. He's so cute.
Yeah. So cute.
They needed to give Andy Carl another role. They were like, we need to make this guy big. Let's give him another role. We'll bring it. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
So if people want to find you, where can they find you? Is that a thing you do?
Yeah, that's a thing. I mean, you can find me at Riley Tweets on Twitter, R-E-I-L-L-Y Tweets. You can find my podcast social media. We're on Instagram at the Riverdale Register Podcast, I believe. But honestly, tweet at me. That's how you can get in touch if you want to. No pressure. You might have just heard my dog bark. That's my bruiser.
No. There is, however, pressure to contact us. So, Sarah, where can they contact us?
Yeah, so please find us. So you can email us at MTBC Podcast for Musical Theater Book Club. You can find us on Twitter for MTBC Podcast. We tweet all of the links, anything we refer to. So like, you know, things like the show and all that we refer to today will all be on there for this episode. Or you can find us on TikTok or Instagram at MTBC Podcast. We just put fun theater stuff there.
Well, thank you for listening, and you'll hear us next week.